Well, it's my pleasure to introduce Lisa Hartman. Lisa represents the state of New Jersey, and she's had some experience with the SUI case registry over the last few years. I have to say, from my perspective at CDC, we always enjoy working with New Jersey because they are so creative in reaching their audiences and how to just get beyond and do better instead of just doing the same old, same old. Lisa is the coordinator of the child death review process for the state of New Jersey, and she's worked with Child Protective Services for the last 24 years. She's excited about the direction the SUID review process is taking in the state of New Jersey under her direction, and we are too. Partnerships are being formed and enhanced to work towards the common goal of prevention, and Lisa just showed me some pictures of three blocks away from her house, and I know that her mind is with her family back in New Jersey, but thank you for being here today, Lisa, and take it away.
So are you underwater? Almost.
They just gave me travel advisory, so New York and I might be staying in San Francisco for the weekend. We may not get out of here. So, yeah, as Lena said, I started this 2 years ago and had no clue what Child Fatality Review was. I was on the other end in a Child Protective Service point of view, where when a case was involved with the department, we would review to see if anything was different. And my boss says, "Why won't you do child death review?" I was like, "I don't want to do this." And I'm really excited that I am doing it. And now 2 years later, I'm excited where we're going. I'm with Terry. I have nothing to disclose. New Jersey, we have 21 counties, and each of those counties, we have a medical examiner. Sometimes the medical examiners will share counties because we have some that are very small. Our death scene investigations are completed by law enforcement and a medical examiner, medico-legal investigator. We have 5 review teams. One is the state. Our state board reviews all cases open with the Department of Children and Families. They could be child abuse or neglect, or they could be something different. Then we have 4 regional teams that review our homicides, our suicides, our drownings. And then we have our SUID subcommittee that looks specifically at SUID and SIDS. And in full disclosure, I think New Jersey does very good on their reviews because we do have a position solely dedicated to the SUID grant. We identify them in several different ways. The state ME's office does work with us by sending us a list. We've also really, really, really worked hard in the last 6 months to a year getting them to call us. If a child dies in the hospital, like being rushed to the emergency room or in the home, just call us, see if the case is known with the Department of Children and Family, or just to let us know. So, you know, I got a case this morning, the child died of sepsis, so we already know this is a case that we won't be reviewing, but we're not going to hear about it 2 or 3 months from now. That has sped up our process and enabled us to do better prevention methods that are more timely than when I first started, when we were about almost two years behind, I think. Yeah, it was pretty bad. So, you know, and then also if the department were no longer DIFAS, we're DCPMP, if they're called on a case, we will get that information from them as well. And right now we are cut up with our backup for 2011, and we try to get all of our cases submitted into the CDR tool within 2 weeks of the review. And we try to make sure everything is in there when we enter, because we like to enter once and be done, and so that when it goes in there, it is considered clean. Our demographics, we do have, I mean, and this comes down from the census, you know, about 48% of the SUID cases are a white male. However, we have more blacks when you look at the population versus the rate of SUID. And it was interesting because I was showing a picture to Lena yesterday, and it's a friend of mine who just had a baby, and of course it's that cute picture on Facebook where he's laying, you know, she's laying on her dad's belly, and I'm like, you know, that used to be really cute, and now it's like, oh. But, you know, we really look at that, and I said, you know, my concern is when I look at this, I now know this is an unhealthy sleep environment. I really refrain from using safe sleep in the state of New Jersey because I do work for Child Protective Services, and I'm very cognizant that if the Department of Health would say, this is an unsafe sleep environment, that has a different connotation than if somebody from Child Protective Services says this is an unsafe sleep environment. So I really stick to healthy versus unhealthy, because people are like, oh, there's that Child Protective Service worker telling me I'm neglecting my kid. I try to stay away from that as much as possible. And so when looking at the picture last night of my friend's baby, it's like, so she doesn't meet any of the risk factors and social factors that we have. Because for us, it's Medicaid. 43% of our families are covered by Medicaid. Very few cases, 9%, had an open Child Protective Service case at the time of death. The reason I think that is significant is when I came on board, they really made this a Child Protective Service issue. And when we started doing the numbers, I could say it's not our battle. It's not that it's not important to Child Protective Services, but we really have to look at the 91% rather than this 9%, and getting the board to switch that focus from, oh, you know, at the time, DIFAS, do something, where it's like, no, how are we going to hit the Medicaid? How are we going to hit the people that it actually does affect, as opposed to our 9%? I'm also very happy to say that we have trained every Child Protective Service worker in the state of New Jersey. And in safe sleep practice, we're also going to be putting a video up online. And when we do get one of those cases we were involved, it's great to see that the worker has actually documented that they discussed safe sleep with them. Again, sleep-related factors. One thing to remember, if the child is in a bassinet, they may not consider like the pack and play a crib or a bassinet. So these numbers are a little skewed, and sometimes you'll have a double, like somebody may be in a crib, not in a crib, but also sleeping with somebody who's drunk. So they would fit into two different categories. The crib and the bassinet is the hugest thing. One of my new prevention strategies is to get the people to understand, let's meet the families where they're at. Again, coming from a Child Protective Service view, it's very easy to say, just buy them a crib. But my thing is a lot of our families are transient. So if you give them a crib and they move 2 months from now, they're not going to have that crib. And when I say, and fortunately nobody can throw anything because there's not many. If I say, don't, you know what, I would rather see a child on a floor in a drawer. People were like, oh, I can't put my baby in a drawer on the floor. Well, that child is actually safer there than that child is in a bed with you. You know, we had a case where the child had a boppy pillow and an air conditioner because of asthma. So we bought them an air conditioner because of the asthma. So what did everybody in the family do? They all crowded into that bed and the child died. He was suffocated by one of the many other people in the bed. So would that child have been safer on that boppy pillow, or would that child have been safer on a pillow? I mean, a dresser drawer on the floor. So I'm really working my prevention efforts about, let's find out where the families are and let's meet them where they're at with their social economical conditions. A pack and play used appropriately is an appropriate sleep environment. So 3 years later, we're caught up. We have a really great coordinator who started in January, and he's as anal as I am, fortunately. So we were getting everything done, and we're moving on. But we're also doing, more importantly, we're building partnerships. We used to work in a vacuum. We have a really, really great ME now, and I meet with him regularly. He's very committed to the SUID process, as well as making sure that everybody is consistent. And it's really great because he is not the state ME. He is one of the regional MEs, and he's in charge. He came from Texas, so thank you, Texas. Mm-hmm. And so he now calls and makes sure that his staff calls DIFAS and DCF on all fatalities because they want to look at the social history. We also are working with the Hospital Association on the safe sleep education. Our SID Center just announced that they were going to be working with all the nurses to ensure that everybody gets the safe sleep training. We provided death scene investigation kits to the ME field office at our training. We were able to purchase 50 of them, actually 56 of them. And a lot of them didn't have dolls, so we didn't know if doll reenactments were being done, and if it's not documented, it wasn't done. When I did my training, Brian, the person who presented the doll reenactment training, said, well, what's the number one concern that you have? And I was like, I'd be happy if they signed the form. And what we're finding is people did not know somebody was looking at their information. So it's just that disconnect and opening up the lines of communication and saying, we are here, we look at your work, we appreciate the work that you do, and this is what we need from you. So we really are hoping that we're going to see, you know, better data and then also then better prevention methods. We're also going to be working on making the CIWD form electronic and tablet, so it's right there in the field. They enter it once and then send it on to us. And our CIWD committee has completely changed. I'm very proud of it because when Shannon came to New Jersey, I had three people from the CIWD Center, respect them immensely, but we had three people from the CIWD Center and then like two or three other people. So it was over 50% of the population. Now we have an ME, we have law enforcement, we have public health. CJ Foundation just signed up to be on, and we have somebody who does metabolic screening from the Department of Health that's also going to be joining. And we have an obstetrician and a pediatrician. So we really have changed the face of our CIWD committee, so we're really hoping that will help get better information. Our MDLs, as they call them, is our medical legal investigations. And this is just with our partnership. There's our ME, Dr. Mitchell, and his secretary, Kathy. And that's my office over on the right with all the kits, because I just thought it was funny because I was creating a fire hazard. And it's the things that we do. But they were appreciative. I mean, we gave it to the people. We were very fortunate. I can actually break it down into the cities. So what I did is I called the Atlantic City Police Department and said, hey, you're the highest number, and we would really like you to come to this training. It's free. If you come, I'll give you doll reenactment kits and also give you a mug, and I'll feed you lunch. And we called the four high cities in New Jersey, and they showed, and they were very excited. We were hoping to have 50 people at this training. We ended up with 130. We had to open it up for more people because of the demand. So I was very excited, and now we have people agreeing to come and help fund for the next conference. And the training, some of the things that we're doing on the Department of Children and Family is we're training our pregnant teen programs. We're also doing our Office of Education programs and our Family Resource Centers. No, I'm sorry, Family Success Centers. Our Family Success Centers are out in the community, and they're available for anybody under our prevention program. It's not just for Child Protective Service involved. So if a family needs something, they can go there, and we're also going to be working with them so they have safe sleep, healthy sleeping, education. We had our conference. All of our Child Protective Service workers, as well as our institutional abuse workers and our Office of Licensing Workers and resource families have been trained and are given information to try to hit every avenue that we possibly can. We're going to be distributing flyers on healthy sleeping at the federally qualified healthcare centers, and also we're going to be starting a calendar contest with our middle school. And the reason that I think the calendar contest is going to work is I have a teenager who just finished her healthy living course in eighth grade, you know, with the little egg baby, and she came home and she had to get a basket and she had to do all this stuff, and you know, she had this list of what she had to buy for her baby, and the bumpers, this, and so I was like, well, no, Jen, you don't need this, you just need a crib, you just need a mattress, you just need a seat, this is all you need, and you don't need baby Tylenol either. So she listened to her mother, as she should, and she sends it in, and she gets a C. Well, my nose, of course, went to the left, and I emailed the teacher, and I said, you're not practicing safe sleep environments for the children. These are our future babysitters. These are our future parents. And this is what the AAP says. This is all the documentation, and we need to look at our curriculum. Now, the fact that I sit on the curriculum committee on the school board probably has nothing to do with the fact that her C went to an A, but we did change the curriculum. So, you know, these are eighth graders. They are babysitting. We want to hit them. They're not our parents right now, but they are going to be. So we have to change a mindset of years. I mean, grandma, you know, everybody, I mean, my daughter, again, is going to be 15, and she was not back to sleep. She was on her side with a little boppy pillow, with the bumpers. So the education method message has to get out there. Again, we're working with the CIWD Center to make sure that we have an appropriate video for the different hospitals and OBGYN and clinics, and it's going to go into the Department of Health as well as the Department of Children and Family website, so anybody can see as a public health notification. And the other thing is we spend so much time criticizing people for unhealthy sleep environments. I'm all about catching them being good. If you go into a Target now, I'm really excited because they have just the crib. They don't have it all made up with all the soft bedding. And how many people actually take the time to say, good job, because they are sending that safe sleep message. So I'm working on catching them practice Practicing Safe Sleep Award, even if it's just a certificate that we can give to consumers and to stores that say, we appreciate that you're sending our message out there. Have to work out how we're going to do that, but that is part of our prevention methods in the next 3 years. And again, I'm really working with families on where they're at in regards to the poverty, sleep environments, and ensuring that their children are protected. My acknowledgments, Lena and Terry and Shannon, they have just like gotten me through the last 2 years. And Dr. Mitchell has done a really great job since he's come in to be the medical examiner in charge. And so my other staff, Nick, is my coordinator in the state of New Jersey, so eventually he will be taking over for me, hopefully. And we'll go from there.